Janet Dench, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
It's curious that Canada has a reputation, seemingly, of being a very open, accepting country, when in reality the history of refugee acceptance in Canada is not necessarily that great.
No, it's a very mixed history, and I think we tend often to remember the highlights and forget that really we were pretty slow and that our doors were pretty much closed in some crucial periods of our history. So it's been up and down, and we as an organization, the Canadian Council for Refugees, are always encouraging Canadians to strive to work towards the high points rather than the low points of our history.
Well, let's talk about some of those different points. In the beginning of the 20th century, it was quite dismal in terms of the restrictions to people seeking refuge.
Yes, well, the beginning of the 20th century was marked by the imposition of a whole series of barriers to people on the basis of race. So in terms of Asians in particular, there were a large number of special measures that were brought into effect to prevent Asians from coming to Canada. Europeans, even Europeans, were not all equally welcome. Northern Europeans were more favored over Southern or Slavs. The other aspect that we saw, and particularly after the First World War, was that there was a suspicion of refugees. There was a concern that people who were refugees were not a good risk to have come as immigrants to Canada, because if we decided we didn't want them anymore, there was nowhere we could send them back. So the bureaucrats at the time advised against taking in refugees or stateless people who could not be sent back.
Things changed somewhat after the Second World War. Let's talk about this period.
Well, I think before we talk about after the Second World War, we have to talk about the response of Canada, or the lack of response of Canada.
Exactly, during the Second World War, yes, to the Jewish people.
Refugees in general, there was some reluctant openness to some refugees, but in particular towards Jews, the door was very firmly closed. The Canadian policy was anti-Semitic, and there was a lot of efforts by different groups, particularly Jewish Canadian groups, to try to get individuals or groups of refugees admitted into Canada. But the policy of closing the door on Jews was very firmly maintained throughout the war, and even in the beginning period after the war, such that the slogan that was what it continues to be used today, none is too many. This was what a bureaucrat allegedly said when asked how many Jewish refugees Canada would take, and the answer was none is too many.
And things changed then in the 50s,
yes,
going
into
the
60s. Just a few years after the war ended, there was, of course, huge numbers of displaced persons, as they were called, in Europe. And Canada began to open its doors, including to Jewish refugees. And in the period after the war, we ended up taking a very large number of refugees from Europe, including many, many Jewish refugees, which is why Canada, in some parts of Canada, be hosting some very large numbers of Holocaust survivors in the following decades.
I was very surprised to read that Canada didn't sign the UN Convention on Refugees until 1969.
Yes, so that's a big surprise and somewhat contradictory, because Canada, the Canadian government, was actually very involved in the drafting of the Refugee Convention. The convention was signed in the context of the period after the war, so countries, including Canada, were remorseful that they had not done more to admit Jewish refugees when the scale of the horrors of the Holocaust became known. People said, never again, we can't allow this to happen. But the other thing that was happening then was it was the beginning of the Cold War. So the countries of the West that were involved in drafting the Refugee Convention, were also interested in thinking about how they could open their doors to people who were fleeing the communist menace as part of the beginning of the Cold War. So there was that political dimension to the response to refugees. From the Canadian perspective, though, there was an over concern about the security implications. What if we admitted a refugee that represented some sort of a security concern, even though the Refugee Convention includes a provision that deals with those sorts of concerns? But I think they were exaggerated in the Canadian context. And so Canada was very, very slow to sign the convention.
It seems like the 70s and perhaps early 80s were the high point of Canada's openness.
Well, gradually Canada started opening its doors to immigrants and refugees from all around the world, not just from Europe. We started seeing response to, for example, Tibetan refugees in small numbers, to Ugandan Asians when Idi Amin in Uganda the early 70s told all the Asians in the country that they had to leave. Mm-hmm. Canada was a country that responded. There was a lot of ad hoc measures at that period, so it didn't. There wasn't really a system that was functioning. It wasn't even in the law until 1976, and when there was a new Immigration Act, and for the first time we started to recognize refugees as a special class of immigrants, and to recognize that the law had to take into consideration our obligations towards refugees. So that then there became more of a system, whereas prior to that, individuals who came to Canada and who, for example, came from Soviet bloc country, they would go into immigration and get their status regularized, but it was not through a formal mechanism that would determine whether or not they were refugees. That only started with the implementation in 1978 of the Immigration Act, and then there was a body called the Refugee Status Advisory Committee, RSAC, that made the decision on whether or not to accept a refugee.
For most Canadians, the Vietnamese boat people are the last large group that we remember the country responding to. This was both a kind of a social response and a government response, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a really tremendous period in Canadian history. And it came at a very interesting time because, as I mentioned, this new Immigration Act had just come into effect, and part of the provisions of that was to provide for private sponsorship of refugees. This was a new program, and in fact, it continues to be unique in the world, a program that allows Canadian citizens to say that they want to do something extra to open the doors to refugees, to help refugees who otherwise couldn't come to Canada find a home, a permanent solution here. So the mechanism existed in the new Immigration Act, and Canadians responded very enthusiastically to this opportunity, and really it surpassed anybody's expectations in terms of the response. And the Canadian government was forced really to run faster and to open its doors wider to match the response of Canadians. And then the result of all of that was that the people of Canada in 1986 were awarded the Nansen Medal by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, which is an award given each year, usually to an individual or an organization. And this is the first and only time that a whole country, not that government, but the people of the country, were given this award. And it was... The citation was in recognition of their major and sustained contribution to the cause of refugees.
And this was where church groups and social organizations, even communities, got together and pooled their resources to sponsor families and people and get them on their feet.
And I think that one of the key points there was that it was people right across Canada in small communities, big communities, places where normally you don't see many immigrants for many communities. It would be their first experience potentially meeting somebody from Asia. And so it it brought home the refugee experience to all corners of Canada and gave all kinds of individuals an opportunity to make connection with world events, which again, which still is one of the strengths of the private sponsorship community. The private sponsorship program is that it not only does it help refugees to find a solution, but it also opens the doors of the world to Canadian communities right across the country.
Is there something about the refugee experience that resonates with Canadians when so many are immigrants themselves who've maybe not necessarily come as refugees, but certainly found a much better life in Canada?
I think that's what many Canadians would recognize as part of the identity of our country, is that it is a place where you can find security, you can raise a family, you can start anew and contribute and be appreciated for what you have to offer. And refugees, of course, come from particularly difficult situations. A big change happened in Canada, as in many parts of the world, in the 1980s with increase in global travel. So we did have, starting in the 1980s, a much larger number of people who were able to make it to Canada and make a refugee claim here. So that certainly meant that Canada had an opportunity to offer protection to larger numbers of refugees. That has slightly changed the situation now, because the last couple of years we've seen quite a dramatic decrease in the numbers of claimants that are able to get to Canada and make a claim.
And that's because of the changes bureaucratically?
Well, it's hard to know exactly the cause of that. Certainly there's a tendency whenever there's a new law that comes into effect that often the numbers go down. And in December 2012, there was a new law, major changes to the refugee determination system that came into effect. So that seemed to be the trigger to the great decrease in numbers. But it's still, I don't think anybody has quite explained why there's such a dramatic decrease in the numbers of people that are coming.
Let's talk about the situation right now, where we're hearing, of course, that there's more displaced people now. It's like after the Second World War, and yet Canada is not really responding. I'm thinking of the large numbers of Syrian refugees, and just to talk a little bit about the vocabulary here. I mean, a person is a refugee in one situation and a displaced person in the other. How does a displaced person become a refugee? They have to arrive in the country that they want to go to?
Well, I think we can call all of them, including refugees, as displaced people. But there's a distinction between a refugee, who is someone who is outside their country of origin, and an internally displaced person, who is somebody who's still in their country of origin. So when we talk about the vast, vast number of Syrians who have been forcibly displaced by the conflict there, the numbers are often divided into those who are still within Syria, the internally displaced Syrians, and then those who are refugees who have crossed the border into one of the countries around or any other country such as Canada. Canada's response to the Syrian crisis, I think, has surprised and disappointed many people. Certainly, the Canadian Council for Refugees is still hoping that Canada will have a more substantial response, particularly in light of the very grave scale of the crisis in Syria, and also to recognize the situation of many Canadians of Syrian origin, who, of course, are very deeply touched by the events there. It's unbearable to be here in Canada in security and have a family member who is in a desperate situation, probably needing to have money sent to them regularly and having no solution for them. So I think it's it seems to be the least that Canada could do, given our advantages and our the better part of our tradition, to open the door in some particular way for to respond to the Syrians.
And what about the private sponsorship program? We're not really hearing about this being mobilized.
Well, the private sponsorship program has been going through some very difficult years recently, and there's questions about what the future holds for this program. One of the features is that there's been a really huge numbers of extra rules that are brought into effect that make it very difficult and time-consuming to just to do the paperwork for an application, and many in many cases refugees that you might want to sponsor are not can't be sponsored because of one rule or another. So that's taken a lot of the air out of the program, and a lot of the groups are saying it's difficult to get Canadians, communities, church groups, or others motivated to get involved in the program because it seems so complicated and difficult to get through the various hurdles that are put in the way of the program, which for us is a very disappointing situation. It's as I mentioned, it's a program that is unique in the world, and many other countries are envious of our ability to mobilize Canadians and offer the opportunity to really make a critical difference in a refugee family's future. But as I say, I'm not sure what the future holds for the program because there have been so many constraints on it.
So we're looking towards an election year, a federal election next year. What would you like to see become one of the major issues in terms of refugee realities for the campaign next year?
Well, I'm not sure how much refugees are necessarily going to focus, feature in the campaign. Obviously, there's lots of IDA issues that Canadians have on their mind. But more generally, I think that a big concern for all who care about refugees in Canada is the situation of the health, the access to health care for refugees. There's been huge impacts for many people, for health care providers and organizations serving refugees and generally people who are trying to respond to the needs in the community since 2012, when there were dramatic cuts made to the refugee health care, which has put a lot of strain on, obviously most of all on refugees themselves, but also on the organizations trying to serve them.
Janet Dench, thank you for speaking with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for your interest.